This is the Center for Future European Success. Welcome to another CFES podcast. My name is Tomas Ola, joined by my colleague, Marco Saracco.
Thank you very much, Tomas.
We have reached a point in Brexit negotiations when things become concrete and the EU and the UK are moving forward to discussing their future relationship. The UK is proposing a unique, bespoke model based on regulatory alignment. In this podcast, we will be discussing with British and EU colleagues the Brexit negotiations, the politics of the British proposals, and how the British ideas are received in Europe.
Well, thank you very much, Tomas, for this kind introduction. Now, for this round of negotiations, the most material aspects we're going to delve into are two. The first one is going to be the border within the Republic of Ireland and Ulster, so Northern Ireland, and any possible deal about free trade areas. It's going to be very interesting, and especially concerning financial services, which is going to be the icing on the cake about this session for negotiation. So we're going to see where the London is going to secure any possible deal for the businesses to deal with European enterprises. So let's find out, right?
Thank you, Marco. This was really interesting. I'm negotiating the free trade agreement for the UK. Currently, actually, the negotiations are going quite well, but the EU does need to have to consider that financial services are crucial for them as well as us. And what we want to achieve is setting a new gold standard for trade agreements that can only be achieved if we include financial services.
Thank you, Caroline, for this interesting perspective. Now I'm here with the main negotiator for the EU side on free trade agreements. Jonathan, how do you feel the negotiations have been thus far?
Negotiations have, how should I say, they've hardly begun because the EU side has yet to hear a convincing argument from the party that's frankly not in a position to dictate its terms to the EU. Why preferential trade agreements should be considered going forward. We know that the default option hurts the UK more than the EU, and yet what we've heard so far from the other side has not convinced us, frankly, to be lenient or to be accommodating in the type of arrangement that we come to during the negotiations.
Perfect. So now that we've heard the EU side on free trade agreements, we'll now be talking to other EU members to hear how they've been doing. So now we'll be going to other members. Thank you.
Okay, this is Hadrian Kim, representing the EU side with regards to the customs union. So far, the UK government reiterated their position that customs union is red line issue. So there's basically nothing we can share at this moment, but both parties are trying their best to come up with a creative solution that might be helpful for the further development of the negotiations.
As a representative of the United Kingdom of Northern Ireland and Great Britain, it's my pleasure to say that as of now, it remains the government's stance that there is no talk of a customs union and no ambition to achieve a customs union in the future. But as productive representatives of our country, we have discussed the opportunity of coming to a deep partnership on goods and borders in the future with the European Union.
As my colleague has mentioned on the topic of customs union, I am the UK representative with regards to regulatory alignment and the issue of the Northern Ireland border. We look forward to our negotiations on Tuesday with the European Commission to further discuss a new potential model in terms of moving forward and sectors in which we may be able to fully align and also consult European standards.
So my name is Malte Hilkser. I'm the Commission negotiator on the regulatory alignment in case there is no agreement on the future relationship. And so that is the backstop clause from the December agreement. And we very much welcome the UK's continued commitment to the backstop agreement and to regulatory alignment. We also recognize the exceptional nature of Ireland, and we are willing to be very flexible regarding regulatory alignment and the parts of the single market that will facilitate a one island economy in Ireland. We maintain that the ECJA will play the main role in enforcing and interpreting EU law in the future, but we are very much willing to work with the UK and we are pleased with the progress so far.
As my European Commission colleague has said, the border in Ireland is a very important issue that the negotiators have to overcome. The UK's position is that we want an alignment with British referendum on the European Union, a frictionless border with the Republic of Ireland, which is phased in with a technological solution and trusted trader programs that involves no hard infrastructure whatsoever.
Thank you, Sebastian. And now from the European side, we would welcome all of the alternatives that the UK has been proposing in recent weeks, but they are not sufficient enough to ease the fears that we have that a hard border across Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland will not do enough to protect the stability, peace, and prosperity that Ireland has experienced in the last two decades. We are looking for a deal to be in place sooner than later, ideally this summer, and we need the backstop proposal to be formalized given the uncertainty that is surrounding the political scene in London and these negotiations as a whole.
So as we've seen, the issue of Ireland has been very contentious. There have been other contentious issues on this resolution, such as judicial, police, security, and defense. So let's hear from the UK counterpart, Danielle.
Hello, my name is Danielle Thompson. I'm representing the UK in these negotiations, specifically on the topics of defense, security in relation to judicial matters, as well as police cooperation. And as regards the UK's position on these subjects, the UK is a sovereign nation and will remain a sovereign nation, and for that reason should no longer be bound by ECJ regulations. We require that we be removed from the ECJ as a member and that we are no longer bound by ECJ rulings or negotiations. Furthermore, the EU and the UK will enter into an integrated partner relationship. We are looking to be closely aligned regarding data sharing and defense cooperation. This includes joint military operation and will allow both parties to address security and defense problems in a unified, coordinated manner. This includes addressing issues such as organized crime and terrorism. Working together, we can address these concerns as a unified, cohesive, collaborative unit, but still as two very sovereign identities. And we are also looking to remain part of the European arrest warrant, which will prove beneficial for both parties and further strengthen our cooperative relationship over time, as well as remain an active participant and retain an active role within the Galileo project. Again, the UK has contributed significant efforts to this project and will remain a part of it.
Thank you, Danielle. Now let's hear the EU side of things.
Okay. I'm Ginevra. I'm a representative of the European Union. Differences are still on the table, but we share the willingness to create a close and constructive relationship for the future. The partnership that we will create with the United Kingdom will cover both operation on the ground in area of common interest, for example, the Western Balkans, and consultation on foreign policy issues. We still have to define the role of the European Court of Justice, and it will be a difficult and contentious issues, but we are sure we will reach an agreement and we will continue to cooperate in to promote defense and security in Europe.
On the issue of security and defense, there also is the component of the common travel area, which of course is very important to both the UK and the EU, since it has existed as a bilateral agreement between the Republic of Ireland and the United Kingdom since the 1920s. And in order to maintain this following Brexit, we think that security and defense will be an interesting area for partnership in order to manage common travel area registries, crossing of the borders between the Northern Ireland and into the UK, the Great Britain. We think that there's an area for collaboration there. It is a bilateral agreement between Ireland and the UK, so there is some discussion about whether the common travel area following Brexit should be negotiated now, or if it can be remain a bilateral agreement that is negotiated between the UK and Ireland solely.
As you can see, there's a lot of complex issues, and this will not be a simple negotiation. My name is Fearla Fahey, and I'm the coordinator for the UK side. Our team is looking forward to the formal negotiations on Tuesday and believe that a common position can be found for an outcome benefiting both parties. We hope the EU understands and accepts our position on leaving the customs union and the ECJ, but that we are willing to negotiate alternative solutions that remain consistent with the will of the British people expressed in the referendum and provide potential for a prosperous future partnership. I'd also like to again express our commitment to no hard border on the land border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, and our commitment to finding an alternative solution to the current backstop proposal. We are certain that we can come to an understanding on these matters accepted by all present.
And now, coming from the coordinator, we have the chief himself. What do you think will happen with the future of the negotiations?
Well, based on the preparatory negotiations that took place this week, it seems to me that we are moving towards at least partial solutions in a number of the really sensitive areas, like the border across Ireland and the future relationship between the UK and the EU. And if only the negotiators in London and Brussels could have the same constructive attitude as we're seeing here in Bologna, I think there would be a very significant breakthrough.
Thank you, that makes a lot of sense. We really did get in the weeds in this podcast, but I think it's absolutely necessary and so fascinating to start thinking about the next phase, having discussed potential models, to get into the nitty-gritty of how the EU and the UK could structure their relationship post-Brexit. Thank you for the coordinators, chief negotiators, and everyone else for their perspective. Thank you to listening to the Center for Future European Success podcast, and thanks to Eliza, our editor. You can subscribe to our podcast on YouTube and follow us on Twitter.